strength. Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
From the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Closer Catholic look at current events, issues, and ideas. You're listening to Cresta in the Afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Glad to be back for another hour. Talking about the things that matter most, and what matters most before the Senate right now is this immigration bill. A bipartisan committee has decided, upon a compromise, that would legalize millions of unlawful immigrants, but it was set back earlier today when it failed a test vote in the Senate. So its prospects are uncertain. Still, the measure is a top priority for President Bush. It's being attacked from the left. It's being attacked from the right. And Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid gave it a brief reprieve, saying that he would give it a little more time before yanking the bill and moving on to other matters. So Reid has set the stage for another procedural vote later today, and that's going to measure how lawmakers feel about a so-called grand bargain between liberals and conservatives on immigration. I confess it's difficult to see how they're going to be able to come together on this. Reid says if it fails, so the bill's over with. Nevertheless, the question of immigration remains close to the Catholic heart. The Catholic Church has some non-negotiables when it comes to immigration, and Catholic social teaching tries to flesh that out. We're going to spend time in this hour talking about this immigration bill with Andrew Yinger, professor of economics at Pepperdine University. He's written extensively on the intersection of Catholic social teaching and economics and immigration policies. He's author of the book Inhabiting the Land, which is part of the Christian Social Thought series published by the Acton Institute, and is the author of a helpful policy paper called The Stranger Who Sojourns With You Toward a Moral Immigration Policy. So we'll talk. Andrew's joined us before. We're going to give a brief recap, and then go into your calls. 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. I was going through notes on this. The Heritage Foundation has produced a paper called 10 Major Flaws in the Immigration Bill. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops have a good deal of information on their website. The Center for Immigration Studies asks what's different about today's immigration. Claremont Institute saying, don't do something. Just wait. You know, there's what we want to do is, again, try in our pursuit of what's of the good, the true, and the beautiful. We want to do our best to look at all of the contingent circumstances and see how they line up with the enduring moral principles that we've received through, by virtue of our creation in the image and likeness of God, and more specifically, by virtue of the revelation given to us in the Bible and in Christ and disseminated through the Church. So that's what we're going to be doing in the next hour. 1-877-573-7825. You know, the discussion doesn't have to be real lofty. The discussion can be real basic. Who are the immigrants we're talking about here? Who are the immigrants in question? Is this wave of immigration different than previous waves of immigration? When we've talked family-sponsored immigration, did we expect 30, 40 family members to come? Or did we expect just, you know, three or four? How's this affecting welfare use, Social Security, Medicare? What kind of impact will so-called amnesty have on the rule of law? There are plenty of good, concrete, practical questions that have to be answered. What we'll do first is go over the non-negotiables for Christians. And then we'll move on to the particulars of the bill. And you will drive this discussion. You will drive it with your questions and comments. 1-877-573-7825. And I feel privileged to have Andrew Gingert with us today because this is a topic where he's really thought through the issues. So coming up in just a few minutes, we'll take your calls. 1-877-573-7825. But first, let's get to today's news headlines with Nick Tom.
Thank you, Al, and good afternoon, everybody. This is your Ave Maria Radio News on Thursday, June the 7th. It's the feast of Servant of God Joseph Perez. As Al mentioned, efforts to pass a complex bipartisan immigration reform bill have suffered a setback in the Senate today. A Democratic attempt to cut off debate and move to a final vote has failed.
On this motion, the yeas are 33, the nays are 63. The motion is not agreed to.
Senators will keep working on the controversial bill, but a fragile coalition of support may be unraveling. The bill, strongly supported by President Bush, is designed to enhance border security while providing a temporary worker program and a path to citizenship for millions of illegal immigrants in the U.S. Despite a promised presidential veto, a bill allowing for expanded federal funding of embryonic stem cell research has cleared the U.S. House today.
On this vote, the yeas are 247, the nays are 176. The bill is passed.
President Bush vetoed a similar bill from the last Congress and has promised to do so again. Supporters of expanded embryonic stem cell research are arguing that it holds the promise of finding cures and treatments for a variety of diseases. Of course, opponents say the process destroys life, calling it immoral and unethical. The legislation was approved by the Senate recently, but it's questionable whether either House can support the necessary votes to override a presidential veto. An Australian lawmaker has called for a parliamentary investigation of a Catholic archbishop who warned politicians against voting to support therapeutic cloning. Fred Riebling, the Speaker of the Legislative Assembly of West Australia, said that he wanted to question Archbishop Barry Hickey of Perth. The archbishop had said that the Catholic legislators should not receive communion if they voted for the cloning bill. Riebling said that the archbishop's public statement was a threat against a member of parliament. Australia's Prime Minister John Howard came to the defense of Archbishop Hickey, saying that he did not interpret the archbishop's statement as a threat. Archbishop Hickey had said that Catholics who vote for cloning are acting against the teaching of the Church on a very serious matter, and they should, in conscience, not vote that way. But if they do so, in conscience, they should not go to communion. The Archbishop's statement appeared shortly after another Australian prelate, Cardinal George Pell of Sydney, warned legislators similarly that a vote in favor of cloning would have consequences for their place in the life of the Church. And Michigan State Police thought it was a joke when they started getting calls yesterday about a semi pushing a man in a wheelchair down a busy highway in Paw Paw, Michigan. An unidentified 21-year-old man was taken on a wild ride after his wheelchair became lodged in the grill of the semi, which pushed him 4 miles down the road at 50 miles an hour. This horrified woman called 911 begging for help.
There is a westbound truck dragging a man in a wheelchair. He did not see him crossing in front of him when the light changed. He's out in front of the middle school right now.
He's westbound?
He's westbound. He doesn't know he's dragging this man.
The man was not hurt, and the truck driver did not know he had the man attached to the front of his truck. According to police investigators, the semi driver pulled out of a local gas station just as the wheelchair-bound man pulled in front of the semi. Somehow, the chair's handles became lodged in the front grill. And now your fascinating fact for the day. It is an urban legend that a Tootsie Pop wrapper with a picture of an Indian shooting an arrow at a star can be redeemed for a free Tootsie Pop. About 30% of wrappers have the Indian, and Tootsie has never had such a contest. But it didn't stop me from believing it as a kid. Reporting for Ave Maria Radio News, I'm Nick Tom.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. With me is Dr. Andrew Gingert. Dr. Andrew Gingert, professor of economics at Pepperdine University, who has written extensively on immigration policy, Catholic social teaching, author of the policy paper, The Stranger Who Sojourns With You, Toward a Moral Immigration Policy. And, Andrew, it's great to have you back with us once again.
Oh, it's great to be back.
Could you just, I want to make sure we get to the calls. What are the, for a Christian, as he thinks through these this issue of immigration, what would be considered the non-negotiables?
Well, the principles, I mean, there's a fair amount to negotiate in this, but the principles are really that there is a right to migrate, but it's not an absolute right. And so in the U.S., we're used to when people say there's a right to something, we think that, well, the debate's over.
Yeah.
And the opposite of that, we say, well, if it's not absolute, we tend to think that, well, it doesn't have any bite, right?
Right.
It doesn't really affect us. But when Catholic social teaching says there's a right to migrate, it says you need to take, you don't want to discard it or you don't want to abridge it lightly. In other words, these are very poor people exercising their God-given economic initiative, trying to find a better life for themselves. Now it may be that they are imposing burdens on a receiving country that may be at some point too much,
mm-hmm.
but you have to be careful in abridging those rights. So it really appeals to the generosity of the U.S. people.
So
the generous people.
Non-negotiable number one would be there is a right to migrate, but it's not absolute.
It's not absolute.
Okay. I would imagine number two is that a nation has a right to protect its borders.
Yeah, there are other things at stake other than just the immigrants' rights. Immigration can, you know, Catholic social teaching recognizes that immigration can impose really severe burdens on a mm-hmm. On a receiving country. And so that country, in light of its own common good, can regulate immigration. It's not an argument for open borders.
Yeah, okay. Okay, what else do we need in the toolkit at this point? Before we go to the calls,
well, you know, beyond that, you know, those are really the two principles. And although some people may at that point say, well, this is just not at all practical; it doesn't tell us what to do. but from that point on, you're really talking about particulars.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
What are the immigrants like? What are the burdens that are being imposed on us? And at that point, you really move beyond the teaching itself to the prudential application of it.
That's right.
So in the U.S. In the U.S. context, the question would be, well, what are the economic burdens of immigration? And for the most part, from what I've seen, the economic stakes in immigration really are not particularly large. You know, people talk a lot about the billions of dollars of costs imposed by schooling, by the welfare state, but those aren't really big numbers. Although they are getting bigger as the number of illegals in the country grows. You know, the real issues and what really has people up in arm are burdens that are not economic. They're in particular the burden on the rule of law itself,
yeah,
in the United States.
It seems an insult to reward people for illegal behavior.
I can't really discard that one because if a law is being broken in such a widespread manner, it really does, in many ways, sneaky ways, it sort of corrupts the rule of law in a lot of ways.
Yeah, that's right. Your overall impression of this complex immigration bill that's before the Senate now, or at least it's in committee now.
Yeah, I think that I would have two things to say about the bill. One, if you're not committed just to taking the 12 million illegal immigrants and deporting them in some way, either directly or drying up the jobs so that they'll go home on their own,
mm-hmm.
then it seems to me that this bill is approaching it in the way that you're going to have to. You're going to have some way to get the illegal immigrants to identify themselves in some way that is not going to lead to their immediate expulsion. And then you just have to start dealing with it. And the bill is so complex because there are so many. You have to deal with 12 million people that you want to get out into the open and then have a systematic way of dealing with them.
Yeah. I mean,
that's
a housekeeping nightmare. Bureaucracy, you know.
And my second response to the bill is a healthy suspicion about whether or not they're really serious about dealing with that housekeeping nightmare.
Yeah.
I think they need a lot more. I'd be more reassured if they were devoting a lot more resources to that housekeeping, you know, to act, because if you're going to do background checks on millions of people within a certain amount of time, you need to take that really seriously.
That's right.
And you know, given the history of immigration and the fact that the last time we had a big amnesty, we didn't really take enforcement seriously, I'd like to see a little bit more up front and it treated with a lot more seriousness, a lot more resources.
Let's go to the calls. And, again, you're welcome to join in this debate as you try to think through, our, you know, as Christian disciples, trying to understand how to apply our faith to this particular area of our life together, our citizen life together. The number is 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. Let's begin in the state of Michigan. Tom, you're first up.
Oh, Al. Are you there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I just want to make a comment. And this is my understanding, and I can be corrected, and I'll hang up. But when George Bush got into power, he stopped prosecuting employers. The prosecution rate went down 95%. For hiring illegal aliens, and this was, according to the business community, wanted the illegals in here to hold the wages down. So we created, we're on the horns of a dilemma now, and this is like toothpaste we're trying to put back in the tube, and it just can't be done. So I just wanted to make that statement, and I'll hang up and listen to what you have to say on that.
Good to hear from you, Tom. Thanks much. Andrew, comment?
Well, I think Tom's identified something important here, is that the toothpaste got out of the tube, so to speak, because of a lack of enforcement all the way back, going all the way back to 1986. Whether or not Bush was, President Bush was worse than those who came before, I mean, a 95% drop from a very low level may not really be a very big drop, because I don't think there's a lot of enforcement going on even before President Bush.
Mm.
But it does highlight one of the problems. One of the political problems is that the business community is ferociously against enforcement, and has fought tooth and nail every effort, and has had open ears in the Senate who've really done their bidding whenever there has been serious enforcement to shut it down.
It's a way of sabotaging. Enforcement. It's everybody pays lip service to the idea of enforcement, but for some reason, the greatest country in the world can't seem to enforce its borders. I mean, to me, there's something weird about this.
And you have businesses in the name of the common good undermining the enforcement of law.
Yeah,
you know, that's part of the sort of the corruption of the whole of the whole process.
Yeah.
That people are justifying. Not enforcing the laws.
The number is 1-877-573-7825. We're coming back. There's one line open here at Cresta in the Afternoon, where we're taking time to, again, refocus on this immigration reform bill, trying to bring together the fundamentals, the non-negotiables from Catholic social teaching, and then addressing all these particulars that we have to exercise a proper prudential judgment. So join us, 1-877-573-7825. I'm Al Cresta, my guest, Dr. Andrew Yanger.
Hello, this is Sister Ann Shields from Food for the Journey. I want to invite you to join me on July 6th through the 8th for the Newell Ministry School of Spirituality. Together, we'll learn how to deepen our relationship with the Lord and make progress on the spiritual journey. The place, St. John's Youth and Family Center in Plymouth. For information, call Jessica at 734-662-1730, extension 32.
Could your family use an extra $500 to $5,000 each month? Hi, I'm Eric Kasem, speaking for the 3-Step Home Business Plan. We're looking for a few good people with Christian family values who'd like to earn an extra $500 to $5,000 a month. we'll teach you everything you need to know to earn thousands of dollars each month working from home. Call 800-281-7874 for your free info pack right now. That's toll-free, 800-281-7874.
Ave Maria University is a vibrant Catholic academic institution, faithful to the teachings of the Church and committed to providing an excellent liberal arts education. The university is located in the new town of Ave Maria in Southwest Florida. Ave Maria is reinventing hometown living as an exciting place to live, work, and play. Now you can work here too. Ave Maria University is seeking a director of marketing. The successful candidate will report directly to the CEO, should have experience in areas such as strategic planning, advertising, media, research, brand management, new product launches, and print production. Agency or university experience is preferred. Must be willing to approach your role and task with a commitment to the mission and values of Ave Maria University and the teachings of the Church. To explore this life-changing opportunity, send your resume to hr@avemaria.edu. That's hr@avemaria.edu. Join now in this important work of the new evangelization.
And a good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. My guest, Dr. Andrew Yanger, talking about immigration. As you know, the political battle, legislative battle, continues on in the Senate. And this has been an excruciating debate, especially among Republicans, where I think it's about as divisive an issue among Republicans as I've ever seen. We're trying to handle this, first of all, not as conservatives or as liberals or as Democrats or as Republicans. We're trying to come at it first as Christians. And then we move, of course, into, as we analyze it, we do tend to lead off, siphon ourselves off into various camps. The number is 1-877-573-7825. Let's go to Jeff in Jacksonville, Florida, who's been waiting. Good to have you, Jeff.
Hello.
Hi, Jeff. You're on the air.
Hey, quite. I've got my grandchildren with me.
I hope they're legal.
Oh, they are. They're just picked them up from the daycare. What I wanted to say was I don't think these immigrants are the same as the immigrants that came to Ellis Island. And also, if they become voters, and it's very likely that they would become voters probably sooner than we can imagine, they could tip the balance of power in favor of the political party that favors abortion in this country, and we could be in a world of hurt.
Andrew?
I'm not sure how to make that comparison. I know that the ones who came through Ellis Island, most of them voted Democrat.
Yeah, that's true.
And they became citizens. They were poor. They were religious. The ones who are coming through now, I mean, I've often heard Hispanic or particularly Mexican immigrants compared to Irish immigrants when they came in, not as educated. Took them several generations to kind of assimilate into the mainstream. So, I mean, I see some similarities. But I'm not really sure. I've heard this, you know, this concern before, that these new voters would vote Democrat. I'm just not sure how to evaluate that. Don't really know what to say about it.
From my standpoint, if that happens and you throw 12 million or, you know, millions of new voters voting Democrat and you tip the balance of power in the Democrat favor, then that affects our ability to get to rid the country of abortion, or at least put judges in power that can put this back into a state's rights issue. And I personally don't think these folks are as religious as everybody wants to say they are. I don't think they want to assimilate into the culture. I've had personal experiences where someone has said, oh, you need to learn Spanish. And quite frankly, I don't think I need to learn Spanish in the United States.
Well, what you're offering is an extended analysis based on political consequences, and that requires us to somehow know what the consequences will be. I mean, you may well be right. This is an argument that I've heard made many times, that these the new immigrants will vote Democratic. Yes, maybe so. Now, at the same time, there are many Catholics among these new immigrants, and many of them are becoming evangelical Protestants. Both the Catholic tradition and evangelical Protestantism has been hostile to abortion. So one could also make the argument that the Republicans, who tend to be the pro-life party, Republicans ought to have an enormous outreach effort to these new immigrants, and abortion ought to be a centerpiece of it. I mean, that, one could make that argument as well.
Also, it's worth noting that on the political calculation, it's not as straight. Even if you think they're going to be Democrats, it's not that easy to sort out, because they're, you know, if there are 12 million illegal immigrants, about 9 million of whom are from Latin America, you've got another 24 million legal immigrants, many of whom are also from Latin America, and how you treat one group may affect which direction the other group turns.
Yeah, very good.
Politically.
Jeff, thanks. Good talking with you and good thinking, and let's move ahead to Bob in Charleston, South Carolina. Hello, Bob.
Hi. I'd like to build on the caller before about businesses' use of these immigrants and their ignoring the law. And I didn't hear your answer, I'm sorry, so I don't know if I'm really picking an argument or not. But I'd submit to you that almost every segment of society has been complicit in what may almost became a nullification of the immigration law, whether they be private citizens who hired gardeners or housekeepers and they looked the other way because they were cheap, whether it were businesses, renters of apartments who did it for profit, or whether it were segments of society who did it for a positive good, hospitals, clinics, the church. Everybody kind of looked at it, looked the other way, and used these people. And somehow now it seems decidedly unchristian to me to say now that they've become a burden, that even though they're just about de facto citizens, we're going to deal with them now. That doesn't sound very right to me.
Andrew?
Well, that's it.
I think I agree. I agree with his point. The system... if you just trace through all the ways that we tie ourselves in knots to ignore the 12 million who are among us, there was this a recent court decision where a woman, an illegal immigrant, was being sexually harassed, or at least was claimed that she was, and took it to court, and they just decided that her immigration status, as a court, they were going to systematically ignore it, because of the possible violations of her rights not to be, you know, sexually harassed in the workplace. So here's a court of law saying this is immaterial to what we're doing.
Yeah,
and so we as a society are sort of ignoring the law in places. We're coming up with new forms of ID because immigrants don't have, you know, illegal immigrants don't have valid ID. We're just an entire... life decisions are being made based on not the formal law, but the informal ways that it's all being broken.
Yeah.
So when you go from that situation where it's so widespread and ingrained in the culture and the way that we treat each other and immigrants and the ways we ignore them, and getting from there to reestablishing the rule of law, I think you have obligations to reestablish it, but you also have obligations to people, even illegal immigrants, who've been building their life around the law as it's not been enforced.
Yes, because it hasn't been enforced, and so a law that's not enforced is often thought not to be a law at all. And
right, exactly. And so, if I may say, too, I think it's very interesting and ironic now that we're focusing so much on the 10 to 12 million Mexicans as illegal immigrants, and our government is prepared, especially in light of Al's show a couple of days ago, we're preparing to take... hundreds of thousands, perhaps, of Iraqi citizens who we may or may not know are real terrorists. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate hearing from you, Bob. Thanks. And we'll go to Jose in Bakersfield, California. You're up, Jose.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to ask this question like from God's perspective.
Yes.
Is there a relationship between abortion and illegal immigration? It's like God is saying, okay, America, you don't want this innocent life I'm sending you. It's gonna, you don't want it because it costs you at many different levels. Okay, I'm going to send you illegal life, and it's still going to cost you a lot of different levels. So do you think there's a relationship between abortion and illegal immigration from God's perspective?
Okay.
I know it's kind of speculating a little bit, but
well,
what do you think?
It's an attempt to get at a providential view of history. What do you say, Andrew?
I'm not willing to go there, but I know that if you've got 50 million fewer people in the last 30 years, and you've got you've only got 36 million immigrants, the country would look quite a bit different if we had more native-born people here.
Yep.
You know, tens of millions of more native-born people here.
Yeah.
Our labor problems may look quite different than they do right now.
Our number is 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. We'll head into Fort Wayne, Indiana. Good to have you, John.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I had a question as far as who is behind this, you know, to get all of these Republicans to work with Democrats, including President Bush. Everybody signed on. Is it just businesses who are looking for cheap labor, or is there somebody else behind this?
Andrew, what do you say?
I don't think... If there was just one group behind it, I think it would be much more straightforward. The fact is, you've got people who are advocates for immigrants, just because immigrants are poor. You know, and I think a lot of the Democratic advocacy and a lot of the concern, even within the Republican Party, is and among Catholics, is well, these are the poor at our doorstep.
Sure.
So I think that's one group of people. That want to be maintain the society as an open and welcoming society. I think on the other side you have people who are very concerned about the rule of law and the real disorder of having this 12 million people who are not supposed to be here legally.
Mm-hmm.
That's driving a lot of it as well. I mean, and then the real wild card in that the other group that's in there is the business community, which wants to make sure that they have access to cheap labor. And I think would prefer having a guest worker program, which I'm very much against, because it ties your status in the U.S. to being with this particular employer, and it really puts you at the mercy of an employer.
Tell me more about that. Your opposition to a guest worker program.
Well, my problem with that is that if you have an illegal immigrant, at least that illegal immigrant can. If he doesn't like the way he's being treated in a particular job, he can quit and go somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
find another employer. But my impression of the guest worker program is that you have less... you may have legal recourse if you're not being treated well by your employer, but you don't have as much recourse to the market.
Hmm.
And I think the market's a great enforcer of how well employees are treated.
So you're not as free to sell your labor.
I think you're less free.
Yeah.
In a guest worker program,
yeah.
because you are brought in by a particular employer under certain specifications. You know, this is what you're going to be doing as a guest worker. It seems to me it leaves workers maybe not more vulnerable, but no less vulnerable than they are now in a different way.
So it is assumed then that these businesses are kind of like shepherds or sponsors for these guest workers, that they have certain obligations to them, the guest worker has certain obligations to the business, and you would prefer what?
If we're really going to address this concern that agricultural businesses need more workers, bring in more workers and let them work in agriculture if they can be attracted to agriculture by farmers.
Yeah. Okay.
And that way the farmers have to do what they can to make sure that people want to work for them.
So what is the need then? What is the, why is it thought that the guest worker has to be tied to a particular business? What is that, what is the good that they're supposed to be accomplishing by that?
Well, the good is based on this sort of government definition of need. These certain industries need workers to do jobs that, quote, other that Americans
I
won't do. And that's really that's sort of a very kind of a statist, very heavy-handed way to you know, the government decides in conjunction with business, of course, who needs what, and then the government allocates people to different industries.
Yeah, that's very Big Brotherish and very statist.
I'm not sure it's good for immigrants.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I hadn't heard that put that way before, but it makes a lot of sense to me what you say. The number is 1-877-573-7825. We will continue with our calls. And my guest, Dr. Andrew Yengert, again, toward a moral immigration policy, our discussion occasioned by the obvious battle going on in the Senate right now over immigration policies supported by this present administration. Again, I've never seen such debate and polarization among Republicans over an issue as I've seen on this. I'm Al Cresta.
The Catholic Men's Night is a group of guys. Guys who want to grow in faith. Guys who want to grow in their responsibilities as husbands, fathers, sons, and disciples of Jesus Christ. The Ann Arbor Group will hold their next meeting this Thursday, June 7th, at the Christ the King Parish Center Gym in Ann Arbor. Just look for the big red bar. Notes from Above co-host Tom Lowy will be speaking about his personal growth in faith and the influence a father has on his children. Tom is very entertaining. Can be always counted on for some great stories. So come for Mass at 7:30 p.m., followed by a time of fellowship and Tom's talk. The meetings end promptly at 9:30. The Ave Maria Communications Guild encourages all men in our listening audience to give the Catholic Men's Night a try. You can't miss us. We're located just south of Domino's Farms. For more information, call 734-930-4524 or surf to catholic-men.org on the Internet. This announcement courtesy of the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
You're a homeowner with an adjustable rate mortgage and you're facing tough times in Michigan. This uncertainty is really causing problems for you. Well, I want you to hear from my friend right now, Ken Towne from Fellowship Home Lending. So, Ken, this is really important stuff people need to take care of right now, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, with things as tough as they are, the last thing that you need is the uncertainty of a budget that keeps moving around with the payments and interest rates going up. You know, people are freaking out. They're afraid to go to the mailbox because they don't know what the payment's going to be.
So what are you telling people when they come to you in this situation?
Well, it's important to have a plan. And the plan, you know, starts with looking at their situation the way it is now and looking at the index, the margin, what their payment can be, what it can go up to, what's the worst-case scenario. Really just rolling up our sleeves and finding out the information that they need so they can make the best decision.
Well, you can make that decision by calling today to Ken Towne at Fellowship Home Lending. The number is 800-660-6433. That's 800-660-6433.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. My guest, Dr. Andrew Yengert, professor of economics at Pepperdine University and author of The Stranger Who Sojourns With You, Toward a Moral Immigration Policy. Taking your calls, lines are full. But as soon as we wrap up a call, of course, one becomes available, 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. We'll go to Ohio. John, listening on shortwave. Nice to have you.
Yes, I think the immigrants have been used as a kind of pinata, a kind of a scapegoat by mostly Republicans and but a lot of Democrats to scapegoat the problems that some people in the working class in this country are suffering, caused by corporations, the runaway shops, the busting of the unions, the reduction of benefits and wages that have gone on. And it's not really, I think, the scapegoat immigrants that are the problem. I think we have to understand that these Republicans need a scapegoat to divert attention from that, and they need to have the, at the same time, the immigrants in here to exploit. At the same time, they need to keep them in as desperate a condition as they can, fearful as they can, unable to unionize as they can, in a guest worker type indentured servitude so that they can keep them exploited. But I've read some articles that some of the same industries that bring them in are subsidizing some of the same anti-immigrant politicians to keep them scapegoated and fearful so that they won't demand their rights. Another alternative would be to give them the rights to unionize. I understand some unions realize that these are the people that would be most eager to unionize if they could. This would then eliminate the incentive for the business to bring them here, and we also have to realize that the problems in Mexico and the Third World are caused largely by the IMF, the World Bank, dominated from this country, the big agribusiness that are eliminating people from their natural farmland in Mexico by undercutting them with genetically modified food, and NAFTA dictates that they must do this. So,
John, we've taken a lot of leaps and bounds here, big stretch of material. Let me give Andrew an opportunity to respond.
Yeah, there's a lot there, but let me comment on three things very, very quickly. One, I think immigrants are blamed too much for the decline in unskilled wages in this country and a little bit higher than unskilled wages. They're responsible for some modest portion of it. There's some part of that decline in wages that is due to a decline in unionism, and some of that may have to do with the environment for unionization, so I think I agree with that. I think that most of the reason for the decline in wages in that sort of lower middle class and unskilled is due to changes in technology. It's really the information revolution. I can't remember everything that was said there, but when he blamed a lot of problems on the IMF and World Bank in the sending countries, I think that's a little too easy. I think that the problems in countries like Mexico and other countries that are sending lots of immigrants go much deeper. It's hard to blame the international institutions. One of the main problems is really a lack of the rule of law in those countries.
Yeah.
The fact that it's difficult to own something and to actually make use of the talents that God's given you in a lot of these countries. The things are stacked against you much more than they are in the United States, which is one reason why so many people want to come to the U.S.
Yeah, indeed. Anthony, listening on satellite radio in the state of Florida, you're up now.
Hello.
Hello, Anthony.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great.
Hey, I've been hearing a lot of the stuff you guys are talking about, and, I'm a contractor in Florida, and, a lot of these immigrants are here, and nobody's working cheap. I mean, they all want, just as much as anybody else. And, in fact, a lot of them are in their own businesses, undercutting us because they can, work with their, countrymen and nobody's paying taxes. And then we have to compete with immigrants that, are smarter than some, I guess. And, they work a lot cheaper than us, and it's causing us to lose work in Florida here. I mean, I have it all happen to us all the time. I'm losing work to immigrants.
So because they're not paying taxes, business taxes, is that what you're saying?
And yeah, they're not paying. Or maybe, they have like a little network where they, maybe one guy, gets paid and then they pay everyone in cash. I mean, and I'm a Catholic and I feel, I have compassion for these people, but, on the same note, I'm trying to run my business legally.
Yeah, you don't want to work under the table.
Yeah, and these guys are just taking over, honestly. I mean, you don't even see Americans on the jobs anymore. I mean, it's, and meanwhile, like I said, I know these guys for a fact. A lot of them, they don't contribute. Their wives, they get all the perks from the government. Everybody's getting food stamps. Everybody's getting everything. And it just seems so unfair to me.
Andrew?
Yeah, I there are really two parts to that sort of competition that he's experiencing. One is just the competition from having immigrants who are competing against him, which is not as troubling to me, although obviously it would be more troubling if I was in his shoes. The fact that the competition is made so much more difficult by the fact that there's this sort of illegal network.
Right.
They're not paying taxes. It's all a cash economy. Is troubling, and it's another one of the ways in which it's sort of subtly corrupting. It's like if you're in baseball competing against other people using steroids, it doesn't make it right for you to use them, but it does. It punishes people who are trying to do things the right way.
Yeah. Anthony, you wanted to follow up?
Excuse me?
You wanted a follow-up question?
No, I agree with him. I mean, a lot of them they're exploiting their own people. You know what I mean? You get there's some of the more entrepreneurial-type guys that, they have their little network, like we were saying, and they're blowing everybody out of the water. I mean, because they're, like you said, they're paying no taxes. I mean, you go to the check cashing store on Friday, we fuel up the gas, and there's a thousand immigrants there cashing checks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, I think it's
a big problem, and I don't know how much longer that now the economy's slowing, the housing market's slowing, and these guys are out there, beating us up even worse. So it kind of. As a Christian, I feel angry at times, toward them. And I don't want to say, like racist or anything. I just feel angry because,
the indignation,
like
the injustice. Yeah, injustice tends to make us angry and direct that anger towards
why does
other
the government
people?
Overlook that stuff?
Well, that's Andrew, let's go to this. The current immigration bill. How would that change life for Anthony?
Well, if it worked, and that's a big if, the way it's structured is that it would bring all of those 12 million immigrants out of the illegal economy and into an economy where to work they would be required to pay taxes.
Yeah. So it'd level
it would eliminate that sort of disadvantage that Anthony faces. It would not it depends on how many of those 12 million were actually legalized and how many of them would have to return home in the middle of it.
If
the bill passes and then it's not enforced, it's not going to do anything. It's not going to change anything.
Yeah. Let's go to Nevada. Gloria, thanks for waiting. Good to have you with us.
Hi. My question is that, comment and question, is that, they're allowed to come across the border and disrespect our laws and our immigration, and yet when they come here, they're saying they're coming here for a better life. But when people from other countries like China or Islamic countries want to come here so that they can have children and practice their Christian faith, well, I'm sorry, we have too many illegal immigrants or immigrants already. You guys can't come. And so it's very much biasing our immigration system towards one country, of which yes, I agree with the caller before me. They don't pay taxes, and they also send a lot of their money back to Mexico, but then so many hospitals in the South are bankrupting because they have so many pregnant women coming across the border to have their children here so that in 24 hours they can draw off the welfare system. And so economically, I'm sure Andrew could probably answer this, that they're really messing up our system economically also.
Andrew?
And then, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, there were two parts to that. Well, the first was just this sort of this sense of injustice that the law is not being obeyed, and those who are flouting it are the ones who actually, as they say, jumping ahead in line, and actually being rewarded for it in some way. Right? That there are people that we might think of as almost refugees from other countries who are not being brought in, or at least it's more difficult for them to come in. As far as the economic impact of it all, If you look at the costs in terms of the entire economy, you know, relative to the entire economy, they're, you know, again, we're talking tens of billions of dollars. It's not a large number in relative to a $14 trillion economy. But what's troubling about it is that it is so concentrated. It's concentrated in, you know, South Texas and in Los Angeles and in areas that have such large concentrations of immigrants. And so, you know, there is definitely a case to be made for trying to find a way to address that.
The local concentration problem.
Yeah.
Let's go to Dallas and talk with Anthony, who's been waiting there listening on Guadalupe Radio. Good to have you, Anthony. Oh, I thought I had Anthony with us. Are you there, Anthony? Okay, well, let's go to Mike, listening in California. Good to have you, Mike. Well, it looks like we're having a little difficulty there. You up there, Mike?
Can you hear me?
Can
you hear me?
Hear you now, fine. Mm-hmm.
Okay, please forgive me if I sound like I'm angry. I don't mean to call with any disrespect towards you or your guests. I'm a Catholic, and I consider myself a decent Catholic. I just heard something that just kind of boiled my blood,
yeah.
Which it you know, of course, these issues do. Nothing has been said by anybody that I have, and I've heard everybody talk. Nobody has explained this particular situation, and this situation I can explain from my heart because I've experienced it. I'm 10 years old, and I'm working in the field, okay?
Yeah.
And come payday, it's time, of course, to get paid. We line up in front of the farmer's door. His wife is handing out paychecks. Is it not obvious that I am 10 years old? Isn't it not obvious that, or maybe suspect that I am not from here, since I don't speak Spanish, English, nor do my parents, who were right in front of me or right behind me in line, speak Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
This is the cause of the whole problem, and that is what boils my blood, that nobody has mentioned that.
I have to define it. What is the heart of this issue?
The heart of this issue is that, you know, this gentleman that I do respect, the contractor that just finished calling, talking about entrepreneurial pursuits and stuff like that. What about these farmers that know they're doing something wrong?
Well,
okay. All right.
Okay.
And please forgive me if it does run along
this
political line.
Andrew did mention this earlier, and that is that the business community has vested interests in this. And what about that, Andrew? You want to address it again?
I am suspicious of the business community in all of this. I think we have a very sort of entrepreneurial business community that can take care of itself without the help of the government bringing in immigrants for it to exploit, perhaps in the ways that this gentleman's talking about. I think that the best safeguard against that sort of exploitation is to, when immigrants are brought in, to bring them into a market in which they can move around, which is one of the reasons I'm against the guest worker program.
Mike, you want to make a quick comment?
Yeah, I'm sorry, and again, with a lot of respect, I think again it's overlooked. The point is, there's a man trying to make money. It doesn't matter how he makes that money, okay? It's obvious breaking of the rules and breaking of the laws, not only moral, but the legal human laws. And that's just not being mentioned. That's totally out of the picture. Everything is pointed at the immigrant.
Well, no,
okay?
the breaking of the rule of law on the American side is a significant matter as well. We did refer to that in terms of business. Seeking its sometimes self-interest in an illegal way. I'm Al Cresta.
I love being a part of spreading the greatest message on earth. Sales manager Gene Leger on why he loves working for Ave Maria Radio. It's hard work, but very rewarding for this life and the next. I get to consult with businesses who want to partner with Catholic Radio to reach a great audience. I like the freedom of setting my own schedule and my own income level. I feel it gives me a chance to serve my community, my church, and my country while providing for my family, all in one job.
Good day, I'm Al Cresta. If you have sales talent and experience, you can turn your occupation into a vocation. It takes courage and it takes perseverance. But for the right person, you'll find not just a job, but a calling. Call our sales manager, Gene Leger, at 734-930-4536 or contact him at WDEO.net. That's 734-930-4536. Catholic Radio, it's yours to keep.
Want to get away from it all? The traffic, the hectic schedules, the long distances? Step into a new way of life. Ave Maria, Florida, a new hometown in the heart of Collier County. Replicating a European town with modern luxuries, the children at Ave Maria walk safely to school, golfers ride their carts around town, and residents have the world at their fingertips. A town center, world-class amenities, retail, health services, public safety, and schools from kindergarten to university are all included in this 5,000-acre town. Ave Maria, Florida, invites you to view open models and live in one of the Pulte Homes, DeVosta Homes, or Del Webb Communities. Starting from the low 200s, Ave Maria is the perfect place to call home with floor plans from 2 bedrooms plus 10 to 5 bedrooms plus 10. Visit Ave Maria, Florida today and walk through the models now open. Become a part of history and join the residents this summer as they bustle around town. Call 866-877-1270. That's 866-877-1270. Or visit AveMaria.com for more information.
And Andrew Gengert, the professor of economics at Pepperdine University. Thank you so much, Andrew, for a short time, but you did a great job.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime.
And don't forget, tonight, Life on the Rock with Father Francis Mary Stone, 8 o'clock Eastern Time on EWTN, Youth for Truth and the winners of the Rock House Video Awards. I'm Al Cresta. Follow up on the programming by going to AveMariaRadio.net.
Cresta in the Afternoon is produced and distributed by Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan. The executive producer is Nick Tom. The technical engineer, Kara Coulter. To follow up on any of the guests or information presented on today's program, visit the Cresta Guest Archive at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMaria Radio.net. To order your copy of this or any other edition of Cresta in the Afternoon, call 734-930-4506 or email orders at AveMariaRadio.net. That's 734-930-4506 or orders at AveMariaRadio.net.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506. Ave Maria University is a vibrant Catholic academic institution, faithful to the teachings of the Church and committed to providing an excellent liberal arts education. The university is located in the new town of Ave Maria in Southwest Florida. Ave Maria is reinventing hometown living as an exciting place to live, work, and play. Now you can work here too. Ave Maria University is seeking a director of marketing. The successful candidate will report directly to the CEO, should have experience in areas such as strategic planning, advertising, media, research, brand management, new product launches, and print production. Agency or university experience is preferred. Must be willing to approach your role and task with a commitment to the mission and values of Ave Maria University and the teachings of the Church. To explore this life-changing opportunity, send your resume to hr@avemaria.edu. That's hr@avemaria.edu. Join now in this important work of the new evangelization. From real estate to plumbing, from pet care to dentistry, Catholic business professionals are finding increased business when advertising with the Catholic Business Pages. For more information about advertising or to get your free copy, go to CatholicBusinessPages.com or call 734-930-4536. Get better results when you advertise. That's CatholicBusinessPages.com or call 734-930-4536. Catholic Business Pages.